Today we're learning Nida Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to start at the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Before we start, I want to now correct. I said I made a mistake, and then I realized that I made a mistake on both counts about the Zav, how it works with the Riyot. So today I'm going to organize it for you. There's a Zav Bal Riyafat. Okay, that's what we said. A Zav Bal Riyafat, if he sees one time, he's Tameh, but it's not the full Zav. He doesn't have the 7 clean days. He's Tameh. Only bimaga. That means only if he comes physically in contact with something rather than masa is not relevant, which means, again, he's carrying something without actually touching it, like on a tray. Then he doesn't have mishkav or moshav. Any of the usual things of zav don't apply, just the simple tuma of maga. Then we move up, he sees 2 ri'iyot. At that point, he becomes a zav. He already, now remember, that could be on the same day, right? Different from the zav who has to see 3 separate days. Then he becomes a Zav. He needs Sheven Akiyim. And he's Metame Maga Masa Mishkav Moshav. Except he doesn't bring a Korban. A Baal Shalosh Riyot. Okay, yesterday I said there wasn't a Baal Shalosh. There is a Baal Shalosh Riyot. That's why I got confused. Baal Shalosh Riyot adds the Korban. Okay, so now. By Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now asks the following question. Okay, and remember, if you remember, and this is going to be important, they keep learning halachot about them based on whether the word zav appeared once in the pasuk or whether it appeared twice in the pasuk. I'll give you 2 examples. So in Vayikra Tevav Lamibet, it says, Zot Torah Tazav, if you want, you can open the Tanchim. Zot Torah Tazav, Ve'asher Tetzei Mimenu Shech Batzera L'tam Abba. There's a comparison to the zav and the tuma keri. And there it only says zav bal riyachat. Right? Notice zav only appears once. But in another pasuk, it says, V'hadavav Nidata, V'hadavav. What is it? Hazavet Zovo. Okay, La Zachar Velanakeva. So then already it appears Hazav et Zovo. That's about Zaval Shteriyot. Okay? So we're going to get back to all this today. It's by Rav Yosef. We start off with the question of Rav Yosef. If you remember yesterday, what did we learn? That the Mitzora from the word La Zachar and Lanakeva, or depending on whether you learn one from the other, we learn that anything that comes out of his body, like urine and saliva, is going to be tameh, just like it's tameh for the zav. But what about, this is an interesting creative Gemara question, if a mitzora, who theoretically anything that comes out of his body, like a ma'ayan, which means it collects and then all comes out at once, if there's anything like a ma'ayan, then it's going to be tameh, tumat mitzora, like the tuma for a ma'ayan of a mitzora, which is like the ma'ayan, which is like anything that comes out of a zav, which is mitame maga, masa, and others, we have those. So now, what if a mitzora sees one ri'iyah of a zav? So when we said one ri'iyah of a zav is going to be only maga and not masa, maybe the mitzora who sees one zav ri'iyah, maybe it would be also be matame b'masa because of the din of mayanot. So he says, makom ziva mayan. Who do we view? Now, generally, we don't call makom ziva mayan because it's if you're a zav, you're a zav. We don't have to say, oh, you're a zav that comes out as matame. You're already your tummy because you're a zav. You're tummy. This obviously the zav is tummy. It's not midin mayan. It's midin zav. But here, we have kind of this in-between. So do we call the makom ziva mayanu? Like there would be a relevance whether we call it a mayan or not. Umitame. O dil malav mayanu? Or do we say zav is not in the category of mayan, only urine and saliva and things like that, but not zav? So that's his question. So first we're going to have a possible answer. We're going to reject the answer. Then Abaye is going to say, I don't even understand why he has this question in the first place. So Amarava, Tashma. Abaye says, let's learn from this source. Zovo tamehu. Okay, this is another pasuk about Esav. It says, "Dibro b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem." This is Vayikra Tevav pasuk bet. Ish ish ki yazav mivsaro zovo tamehu. First of all, notice how many references to zav. 2, and then it says, "Zovo tamehu." So azav mivsaro zovo tamehu. Okay, so what do we learn from this tamehu? Limed al azov shehu tameh. This teaches you that the zav himself is tameh. So now, Rava says, this is a little weird, but mine. Ilema b'zav grade, if you want to say a zav is tameh, and you're talking about a regular zav, it doesn't make any sense that you need a pasuk to tell us that. La'acherim gorem tuma, la'atzmo lo kol shekein. If he causes tuma to other people, all the more so, how can you be someone who causes tuma to someone else, but you yourself aren't tameh? That makes no sense. Okay, so Therefore, you don't need a pasuk to tell you that once we know that the zav is matame other people, which we know from other psukim, right, that he's an avatuma, and it makes a lot of sense. If he's an avatuma, well, he's an avatuma, right? How else can you transfer tuma if you're not yourself tame? Therefore, comes Rav and he says, when the pasuk says, tame hu, and the drasha is, and the braita, limeda la zov shu tame, what do we mean, the zov is tame? We can't be talking about a regular zav because that's obvious. Elapshita bizav mitzora. It must be talking about a zav mitzora, meaning a mitzora that sees one riyah of a zav, or maybe two. We're going to have to see, and then he's going to prove whether it's one riyah or two. So, umid itzrich krala ribuye b'riyah shnia. Now, notice, what did we say? The zav in the pasuk is two riyot. So, what's it telling you? That a mitzora who has two riyot of zav is going to be tameh. So what does that obviously imply? Because it was specifically telling you about two re'iyot, you're going to be tameh. Shema mina mikom ziv alav mayanu. Obviously, then, if it was only one re'iyah, he wouldn't be tameh, and that's the chidush of this pasuk. Okay, so we've taken this pasuk that basically says, ish ish ki yezah mibsaro zovo tamehu, and we've put it limited it entirely to say this is only talking about a zav mitzora. Okay? And then, what's it proving to us? Only if the Zav Mitzoras, if the Mitzoras saw two Riyot of Zav, is he Tamei, one Riyan? No. Which there answers our question, no, it's not a Mayan. Okay? Yeah. Amar le Rav Yehuda mi diskarta le Rava. But Rav Yehuda mi diskarta says to Rava, what are you talking about? Mimai. Dilma lo lami am lecha b'zav greda. You started off with this incorrect premise. You said it can't possibly be that the Pasuk's telling us the Zav is Tamei. Because if the Zav himself is Mitame others, obviously he's Tamei. That's a faulty assumption, because I can prove to you from a different case where something is metame others and isn't tame itself. So, that line that you said, I'll prove you wrong. Seir ha-mishtaleach, the seir that we throw over the cliff for, or send off to the desert according to the Torah, but according to the rabbis, throw off a cliff, the seir ha-mishtaleach yochiach, shegorem tuma lacherim, it says, the one who's mishtaleach et ha-seir, says, Yichabes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mai, v'rachatz, sorry, I don't remember all the words, but he goes to the mikvah, okay, he's tameh, v'hu atzmo tahor, but the Seir Mishalech is tahor. How do we know the Seir Mishalech is tahor? Because, we've learned many times, a Baal Chayim, in his lifetime, is never tameh. An animal can only become tameh when it's dead, and this animal isn't dead. So therefore, what do you see? Right, that the Seir Mishalech causes tuma to someone else, even though he himself stays tahor.
But you could limit that to being an animal.
So, number one, it's a weird example because it's an animal, not a human being. So that's a little odd. And especially because, right, the animal can't even possibly. But they're trying to say there's basis for this, and one could say. Right? I'm surprised they didn't bring, I'm trying to think if there's a reason why it's not exactly true, but the whole paraduma, right? That the one who deals with it becomes tameh. Right. But maybe it's a little bit different. Anyway, they bring this, right. So, Amar Abaye. Okay, so therefore, we can't prove anything from this braita, and we're left with Rav Yosef's question. But as I told you from the beginning, Abaye is going to say there's really no question here. I don't understand why Rav Yosef can ask this question, because it's so obvious what the answer is. Amar Abaye, mighty Baile, what was he asking? That's, how could he even ask this question? Vaha Hudamar, he was the one who said, Zot Torah Tazav, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. We had this drasha yesterday. If you remember, where did we learn about a Katan is in the dinim of Zav? There were two options. One was from Zot Torah Tazav, which meant anyone, even a Katan. And the other was to say, La Zachar, remember, if Lanikeva, you could learn from Lanikeva to the Zachar, you could learn from there to a male about the Mitzorah and his Mayanot, then La Zachar is free. And one of the options was, well, La Zachar is needed for Ben Gadol Ben Katan. So, says here, he was the one who said Zoto HaTazav Ben Gadol Ben Katan, which, by the way, if you look back yesterday, it's not said in Rav Yosef's name, okay? I checked because I said, I don't remember seeing Rav Yosef yesterday. So it doesn't say it in his name, but it seems Abaye knew that Rav Yosef said, even though the Gemara didn't tell us this, he was his student, so it makes sense he knew.
But he also knows that Rav Yosef eventually forgot things.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yafeh. So if he forgot things, maybe that's so why he asked the question. Right. Or maybe it's not okay, but it's understandable why he asked the question, because maybe he forgot. That's possible. So in any case, that doesn't even matter, really. The point is, I can answer the question according to Rav Yosef Shita himself. So, because he's not so, I mean, it's true he's questioning Rav Yosef, but he's basically saying, I'll tell you the answer according to what Rav Yosef himself should really answer. So if you say, so Torah tazav, ben gadol, ben katan, like Rav Yosef says, well then, kevan dinafkale mehatam, since he learns it out from there, iyater le lezachar, the zachar is free, and yeah, meaning it's unnecessary then in the other verse, because we're not learning it to a katan, so what are we going to learn from there? L'rabot mitzorah l'mayinotav, right? We're going to learn from zachar that a mitzorah, anything that comes out of the mitzorah, is going to be tamei, like a zav, and nikeva l'rabot mitzorah l'mayinotav. And what do you see here? Akshe rachmana mitzora lezav gamur. There's a hekesh in this pasuk, basically, from the drasha. Okay, hekesh is usually, there's two words in the pasuk. Here we're saying, well, lazachar is as if it's synonymous with mitzora, in which case, there's a hekesh in this pasuk between zachar and, between azav and mitzora. But notice, what kind of hekesh is in this pasuk? This pasuk had the double language. It said, hazav etzovo lazachar v'lanakeva. So notice, what did it compare a mitzorah to a zav? In which case? To a zav gamor. Okay, a zav bal shtei riyot. So ma zav gamor metamei b'masa, af riyah rishona shel mitzorah metamei b'masa. Okay, so he basically says, you see that the zav is equal, the mitzorah is equal to a zav who sees two re'iyot, which means that if you're a mitzorah and you have a riyah rishona of a zav coming out, of a ziva coming out of you, you're going to be mitame b'masa, okay? Which answers basically Rav Yosef's question, and it is miti ma'ayan according to this. Okay, that was the first thing, which was Rav Yosef's question. Is it like a ma'ayan? Is it not? Rav tried to answer it, that it's not. In the end, we reject his answer, and then Abaye comes and says, it really seems pretty obvious from Rav Yosef himself that it would be mitame b'masa. So it is considered a mayan. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna now is another halacha, and we're going to deal with this for a while. Riyah rishona shel zav mitama ba'onis. Another unique thing about a riyah rishona b'zav, and the first one was a mitzorah who has a riyah rishona, his riyah rishona is going to be more chamor, because he's a mitzorah, and it's midin mayan and not midin zav. Another exception is that if normally we say a zav is not mitame me'ones, okay, that means, okay, there's a list of seven possible ways that could be considered ones, like things that cause ziva that are not things that are considered zav, like eating too much, drinking too much, or eating certain foods, carrying heavy weights, jumping, some sickness, seeing a woman, even if you don't have thoughts about the woman, or thinking about a woman even if you don't see her. Okay, those are all things that could potentially cause a zav to have, cause a man to have this discharge, and it wouldn't be considered zav. But comes Rav Huna and he makes a distinction. He says, the riyah rishona shel zav, which is only mitame b'maga, even, since it's more meikel, the din, we're going to actually say it's mitame ba'ones. The din of ones, okay, the din of ones we learn out from the word mibsaro, ki yezav mibsaro zavotameu. That was the pasuk we saw before. Now notice mibsaro, right? That means it comes out from him and not from some external factors. Notice the pasuk there says zav and zavo, so it sounds like shtei riyot. So therefore, he says when it's only one riyah, it will be mitame ba'onis. Shneimar. How do we know this? He learns it actually from a different pasuk. Zot Torah tazav ve'asher teseh mimenu shechvat zera. Notice what it, there is where we learned about zav val riyah achat. And notice it's connected to shechvat zera. Ma shechvat zera mitame ba'ones. Shechvat zera in general comes out because of ones, some external circumstance. Af riyah rishona mitame ba'ones. So therefore, the riyah rishona of the zav is also mitame ba'ones. So they compare it. That's how we learn. So that's Rav Huna. A lot of people, we're going to have a lot of questions on this. Okay, the Gemara is going to raise all sorts of problems with it. Tashma, let's learn from the Mishnah in Zavim. This is Perek Bet, Mishnah Bet of Zavim. Ra'a riyah rishona bodkinoto. He sees the first riyah, he sees a riyah of Zav. We check, what do we check? We check if it's honest or not. We find out, well, what happened? Did you do the following thing before? Blah, blah. So, doesn't this sound like my love Latuma, that they're checking him to see if it's honest? Because if it's honest, then he's not going to be Tameh, because what else is the relevance of one Re'iyah? It's just for Tuma. So they say, Lola Korban. No, it's to see, can we count this as the first Re'iyah? If you were to see another two, then he'd be Chayav a Korban. And if, For example, this was machmat ones, so according to this interpretation, if it really was a machmat ones, so yes, it would be tamei like Rav Huna said, and again, we're trying to explain this source according to Rav Huna, but no, it wouldn't count as a first riyah out of three if he were to see two more riyot that day, not machmat ones, and this one wouldn't count toward the korban. Tashma, another question against Rav Huna. Well, continuing on in that Mishnah, it says, Bashnia botkinoto. You want to say that the first part of that Mishnah, a riyah rishona, botkin, what are we checking for? Botkin for the korban and not for chumah. Because chumah, it wouldn't matter ones. That's what we said. So now, the second part of the Mishnah says, Bashnia botkinoto. So now we're going to assume the bedikah of the second one would be the same as the first one. Well, lamai. Elam of the korban, if you're going to say like the first one, that we're checking for the purposes of korban, about letuma lo, in other words, just for korban, not for tuma, that can't possibly be. Because ikri kam miv saro, v'lo machmat on so. You can't say that the two re'iyot doesn't need, can be even if it's ones, because that was the whole drasha from the miv saro, and it came from a pasuk relating to za'al bal shtei re'iyot. And alav letuma, you have to say that the bod kinoto for the second one has to be for tuma. And not only for korban, but also for tumah. So therefore, right, we're going to say the el alav l'tumah, and we disayf el l'tumah, reshanami l'tumah. We're going to assume, right? We always try to make the Mishnayot parallel. If it says botkim and botkim l'tumah, then obviously botkim in the first case is going to be botkim l'tumah, which again goes against Rav Huna because then it means you're checking for ones to see if you're going to be tameh or not. So the Gemara says, no, midi iria hakadita bahakadita. No, you could actually say the first bedikah is korban, the second bedikah is tumah. But they continue on. Tashma, look at the continuation. Now, it says in the Mishnah, they don't skip one line, which is, according to Tanakama, Ubashlishi ein botkinoto, it says. Tanakama says, the third time, you don't have to check anymore. But it says that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af b'shlishi botkinoto mipnei korban. He says, in the third time, you have to check for korban. Michlal, from here one can infer that what? When Tanakama says, ein botkinoto mipnei korban, but it means, if you don't need to check the third time mipnei korban, what does it mean? It means you've already checked the first two mipnei tuma. Okay, the assumption is that the topic there was tuma. So the Tanakama mipnei ha-tuma kamar. In other words, Tanakama in check one and check two must have been talking about tuma. And it says once you've established tuma twice, then the third time for... And what, why do we have to assume this? Because what he's saying is for korban, you don't... If you needed to check from ones for korban, then you would have needed to check all the other two for korban. And as if korban necessitates that it not be ones, then you would have had to also check the third. So the fact that you don't have to check the third shows that what's the difference between the first two and the third? The only difference between the first two and the third is that the first two are tame only, and the third is korban. So if korban doesn't need ones check, then the first two also don't need ones check for korban, which means they only need for tumah. Okay? So therefore, you'd have to say that the check is for tumah, which again goes against Rav Huna. So they say, lo dekule amala korban. Really, the first two checks you could say are for korban. And particularly, really, the first check. Not the second check, we already said, has to be for tumah also. But the first check is only for korban. So why do they have this difference about checking the third one or not? That's all separate machloket. V'hacha be'etin kamifliyeh. Their whole machloket there has to do with the word et. Whether we dorish et or we don't dorish et, right? Et is a word that in Hebrew is kind of neither here nor there. There's a whole debate, right? It's not really a necessary word. There's always a debate among people, Tanaim. There were two tracks, people who darshaned the ets and people who didn't darshan the ets. Like kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, right? That they say et to include the older brother. Okay, so hopefully also older sister. But there, what do we learn? That, some people darshan that, some people didn't. So here also. So how does the et work out here? Rabbanan lo darshe etim, v'Rabbi Eliezer darish etim. So, and now we're going to say the whole issue is a totally different issue, which means it doesn't teach us anything about Rav Huna or not. In other words, we don't have to say this contradicts Rav Huna. Rabbanan lo darshe etim. So if he doesn't darshan etim, how does the pasuk work? The pasuk says, v'hazav et zovo lazachar v'lenekeva. So if you say we don't darshan etim, so hazav is one, chada, that's one ri'iya. Zovo is tarte, is the second ri'ya. Lazachar is already the third ri'ya. Now, what do we do with this word lazachar? Bashlishi, Akshay Rahmana Linakeva. What do we say? It says in the Pasuk, La Zachar Velanakeva, which means, now here we're going to do it differently than what we've darshaned before. The Zachar is like the Nakeva. Now, what do we know about a Nakeva who sees Zava blood? Doesn't matter if it's Ones or not. So the third Re'iyah already, we don't care about Ones. In other words, to get to a Korban, it's almost like Sukkah. Two walls and a third could be anything. Two Re'iyot, not with Ones. Right? And one plus one Riyah, even if it's with onus. Because of this, la zachar ve la nekeva. So bashlishi, akshe rachman le nekeva, which means even if it's onus. Which means, again, this has nothing to do with any of our topic about the first one, right? Rabbi Lezer, because according to this, you would need, and that's, you, again, it's not conclusive about what you would say with the first. Rabbi Lezer, darish etim, because again, this is all for korban. What about tumah? That was our whole question. Rabbi Lezer darish etim, he darshens it. Therefore, hazav is chada, et is tarte, et already is referencing the second ria. Zovo, tzlat, that's already the third. And only, barivi'i akshirachman alinikeva. Only in the fourth ria, now you're thinking, what's the fourth ria? Once you get to three, you're already chayav korban. So first of all, what it shows here, before we even get to the fourth, is that all three need
checking.
Which is why, that's what that explains, or realize just that they all three need checking. What does it mean by Revi Yakshe Rachman Alin Keva? That means if you're in Sheva Nekiyim and you see a Zav discharge that came Machmat Ones, that's going to knock out your clean days. Because even though it's not considered Zav, Linyan Tuma, it's considered Zav at this point to knock out your clean days. Because it's like a Nekeva, that's actually a Chamor Din. Right? We're being Machmir here and saying it can knock out your days even though it doesn't make you a Zav. Okay, Tashma, another question against Rav Huna. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, v'halo Zav b'chlal Baal Keri haya. Okay, notice Zav was in the Pasuk with the Baal Keri. Remember, it says, Zot Torat HaZav, ve'asher teitzei mimenu shechvat zera. V'lama yatza, now why was it then specified? We're going to have to see exactly what this means. Not so clear at this point what they mean by that. Where it was Yotzei. Okay, but why was it specified specifically and not just kept with the Shechvat Zera the whole time? L'hakel alav u'lachmir alav, to make his din lighter and more stringent, each in different ways. L'hakel alav she'ei metamei ba'ones, it's a mekel din more so than Shechvat Zera, because if it happens ba'ones, by some external factor, you're not tamei. And l'hakmir alav shehu oseh mishkav u'moshav, but to say the din is more chamor because of mishkav u'moshav. Now, eimat, what are we talking about? Because again, we want to know if it's Eim Metame Ba'ones, if we can say it's Eim Metame Ba'ones in Riyah Rishona, then we're going to go against Rav Huna. So, Eimat, which case are we talking about? Ilema B'Riyah Shnia, if it's B'Riyah Shnia and then it won't have anything to do with Rav Huna, Hecha Hava B'Chla Baal Keri, when it was with the Baal Keri, and as the topic of the Braita is, it was together with Baal Keri. And when it was together with Baal Keri, it was only the case of Ra Riyah Chat. So therefore, Ela Pshita B'Riyah Rishona, it must be, for sure they're talking about the Riyah Rishona, V'Katane, and what does it say? Lo and behold, L'Hakel Alav She'enu Metameh Ba'ones, against Rav Huna. Because it says, if it's Ones, you're not Metameh. And remember, Rav Huna said, Riyah Rishona, since it's a light kind of tumah, we're going to say even if it's ones, you're going to be tamei. So now they say, what are you talking about? There's no way you could say that source is talking about. And it's really obvious. Baal riyah chat v'tizbara. Look at the rest of it. What does it say? L'hachmir alav shuoseh mishkav u'moshav. Priya rishona bar mishkav u'moshav hu? But you're not mitamei mishkav u'moshav in riya rishona. So if the whole topic there, again, let's read it. If you want to say, well, you're certainly not talking about Baal Riyah Achat. Nobody thinks Baal Riyah Achat is Metamei Mishkav Moshav, and therefore this has nothing to do with Baal Riyah Achat, okay, which then would further prove Rav Huna, because it says you're only Metamei, you're not Metamei Ba'ones, but only Riyah Shnia, because the whole topic is Riyah Shnia. Now, how do we get from the pasuk there, which was about Riyah Rishona, to the fact that the second part of it is talking about Riyah Shnia? So, how do they explain it? Ela Hachi Kamar. This is how you should read it. Rav Yitzchak Amar v'halo Zav b'chal Baal Keri haya b'Riyah Rishona. When it was talking about the Riyah Rishona, Zav was together with a Baal Keri. The Lama, now we're going to explain what does it mean, Yatza. The lama yatza b'riyah shnia. Why, when it's mentioned with two ri'iyot, hazav tzovo, and a bunch of psukim where we saw the double, there, notice, it's not mentioned with shechvat zera. So what do you learn there? La'akel alav u'lachmir alav. In other words, when the riyah shnia, it's no longer with it, that's to say, oh, it's different. It's different la'akel, it's different la'achmir. La'akel alav she'enu metameh ba'ones, u'lachmir alav she'oseh mishka v'moshe. And then the whole topic is the second riyah, which has nothing to do with Rav Huna again. I'm Rav Huna now. So we kind of brought all these questions at Rav Huna, we answered them, and now Rav Huna is just going to talk about how you distinguish between Zav and Shechvat Zera, the way it looks. Zov domeh lemei batzek shel seorim. It looks like the dough of barley. Okay, it's unclear whether we mean in terms of the consistency of it or the way it looks, the color of it. Zov bami basar hamet, shechvat zera bami basar hachai. Right, zov comes from the man's body when it's dead, and the shechvat zera not when the person's dead, when the aver of the person is dead, and the shechvat zera comes when it's live, right, when the sperm is live. Zov diha v'domel lelovin beitza muzeret. This also connects. The zov looks like the white of the egg of an unfertilized egg, an egg that's not going to be able to give birth to chicks. And shechvat zera kshurat, okay, and it's thin and liquidy. Shechvat zera is thicker and stickier. V'domel lelovin beitza she'ena muzeret. It's like an egg that is going to give birth to other eggs, to chicks. Okay, finished with that topic. Moving now to the Dam Hayoledet Shelo Tavla. If you remember, we had in the Mishnah, let's just go back for a minute. We said in the Mishnah, Lama Dalet Amud Aleph in the beginning, it says, Dam Hayoledet Shelo Tavla. Remember, what happens to a Yoledet who doesn't go to the mikveh after day number 7 or after day number 14? If gave birth to a boy or a girl, Beit Shammai omrim ki roka u'kimemei ragleha, bi'ikaron mida'oraita Beit Shammai says, her dam is tahor already, because this is what we call dam tame and dam tohar, and it doesn't matter whether she went to the mikveh in the middle, but they were machmir on her and said, we're going to treat it like the rok at meiraglayim, that is mitame lach and not yavesh. Right? If it's dried out, we're not going to say it's tame, but if it's liquidy, we're going to say it's tame. But only mida'orabana. She says, no. If she didn't go to the mikvah, it's all dam tami, mida oraita. Okay? Umodim, and this is a big debate about whether she has to go to the mikvah in between or not. Umodim b'yoleda b'zov, she mitama lach v'yavesh. But when it comes to a woman who had zav of love before her pregnancy, before she gave birth, and never got out of it before she actually gave birth, then we're going to agree that she's mitama lach v'yavesh until she has shev nekim and goes to the mikvah. So now we're going to deal with that topic. Tanya. So the Braita reads like this. And we're now going to have a discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Iyatem odim benida shalo tavla v'rata adam she'itmea. Don't you agree in the case of a nida, if she doesn't go to the mikvah, she's done with her nida days, she doesn't go to the mikvah, it's not like, oh, magic, your nida days are over. No, you have to go to the mikvah. If you don't go to the mikvah, you're exactly tmea the way you were before. So amru lahem Beit Shammai. Lo. I don't agree with the comparison. If a martin binidash afilu tavla v'ra'ata tme'a, tomru b'yoledet shim tavla v'ra'ata shehi tehora. In other words, when a nida, it's true that if she's tavla v'ra'ata tme'a, if a nida sees blood, if a nida finishes her nida days, goes to the mikvah, tavla, and then the day after she sees blood, what are you going to say? She's obviously tme'a. That blood is tame blood. That's why if a nida doesn't go to the mikvah, she's tmea, because any potential days after that could be potentially days that will mess her up. But tomrubi yoledet shim tavla v'ra'ata shi tohora. But the comparable case in a yoledet, if yoledet goes to the mikvah on day 15, night of the 15th, and then the next day she sees blood, well, that blood's fine. So therefore, you can't compare apples to oranges. They're not the same. So amrulahem, Beit Hillel says back to Beit Shammai, Yoledet bezov tochiach. What do you mean, though? I'll prove it from the Yoledet bezov case. She'im tavla v'ra'ata l'achar yimei sfira tehora, lo tavla v'ra'ata tme'a. But you can't just say that, because look at the Yoledet bezov. Yoledet bezov, again, what's going to happen to her? If she counts her 7 clean days, goes to the mikvah, and the next day sees blood, what are you going to say the status of that blood is? Tahor blood, because it's dam, she's in the days of dam tohar. But what did you say? You agreed with me in the Yoledet bezov that she has to go to the mikvah. So therefore, your comparison to the nida and saying it's different, it's not really different, because here it's really the same, and yet you there you need the tefillah, and here you don't. Amru lahem, Hu adin vihi atshuva. Okay, so now he says to him, Beit Shammai answers. So Beit Shammai says, in fact, you're right that the Yoledet is theoretically, according to what we're saying, should be different, and it is different. It's not like Anida. Okay? In other words, if she didn't go to the mikvah, if she counted her Sheva Nekiyim and doesn't go to the mikvah, okay, what happens? This woman gave birth in her Zava days, right? She had to get out of them. She ends up her 7 days, let's say it was a male. She goes to let's say she doesn't even go to the mikvah. Then she counts 7 clean days, and then she doesn't tovel. Yeah, according to Beit Shammai, no problem. Any blood she sees after that is tahor. So now they say, wait a minute. Lemeber de pliga, are you saying they disagree? Don't you remember the Mishnah of Ahatznan? Yoled de bezov. Modim, yoled de bezov, shehi mitama lach v'yavesh. They agree that she's mitame. So how can you say that they disagree with Beit Hillel? It says that they agree with the yoled de bezov. She's mitame lach v'yavesh if you don't go to the mikvah. So what do they say? Oh, lo kashi, you misunderstood the way the Mishnah is read. Kansha safra, kansha lo safra. It's not important to Beit Shammai about the Yoledet Bezov that she tovel. It's important that she counts Sheva Nekiyim. Until she counts Sheva Nekiyim, she's going to be Tmeah Lach V'Yavesh. After that, no problem. She's Tahor. V'hatanya, and here's a brayta to support this whole reading that we just said. Yoledet Bezov Shesafra V'lo Tavla V'Rata. If she counted but didn't go to the mikveh and then saw blood, Halchu Beit Shammai L'Shitatan U'Beit Hillel L'Shitatan. Which means they really don't disagree about this. Oh, I'm sorry, they really disagree about this, in which case that's how Beit Shammai holds, I'm still going the Shitati, because I really think that as soon as you're in Dam Tohar days, as long as you've resolved any other outstanding issues, like Zav, and you've counted your 7 clean days, going to the mikveh is not going to make the difference. Okay, so Itmar, we're going to talk about this now more. Rav Amar, now there's a debate between Rav and Levi, and we're going to see how this relates to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Rav Amar, Ma'ayan Echadu, we've learned this before, it's all coming from the same place, Dam Tohar, Dam Tame. It's just a matter, HaTorati, Mato, HaTorata, HaRato. Now, the Torah randomly decided, or I don't know, randomly, but the Torah decided, if it's these days, it's going to be called Tame. If it's those days, it's going to be Tahor. It's really all the same blood. The Levi Amar, Shnei Ma'ayanotein. They're really coming from two different places. Nistama tameh niftacha tahor. Nistama tahor niftacha tameh. Right? One closes and the other one opens, right? The tameh ends and the tahor starts. Then at the end of the 40 or the 80 days, the tahor closes and now all of a sudden the tameh mayan starts. So my binai, what's the difference between them? Because really, in the end, it doesn't really matter. It's a matter of these days and those days, whether it stopped or started or it's the same flow and it's just called something else. Well, ika binai shofat mitoch shiva. La'achar shiva. Shofat mitoch shiva, la'achar shiva, u'mitoch arba asar, la'achar arba asar. U'mitoch arba'im, la'achar arba'im, u'mitoch shmonim, la'achar shmonim. What does that mean? If you're continually bleeding, let's say at the end of the 7th day, there's a continual flow of blood into the 8th day, or day 14 into 15, or day 40 into 41, or day 80 into 81. Okay, l'rav. According to Rav, we're going to say it doesn't matter that you're continually bleeding. So in the beginning, we're going to go lekula, meaning from day 7 to day 8. A same flow kicks in day 8, it's tahor. And seifa lechumra, if we're going to start bleeding at day 80 and you bleed into day 81, well, day 81, it's already going to be tameh. Levi, it's going to be the opposite. Reisha lechumra v'seifa lekula. Dafti is going to say it's viewed as one continuum. So if you continue bleeding into the 7th day, into the 8th day, it's still tameh. And if you're going to keep bleeding from day 40 or day 80 into the next day, we're going to say it's still tahor. Meitivei. Now we're going to have some questions on Levi. We're not even going to finish them all today. Okay, before we were bothering Rav Huna, now we're going to bother Levi with a bunch of questions. Dam hayoledet shelo tavla. So now we have our Mishnah. What do we say? The dam of yoledet that didn't go to the mikvah. Beit Shammai omrim kiroka ukimemei ragleha, ubeit Hillel omrim mitamei lach v'yavesh. Kasal kadatach dipaskan. Now we assume what happened. She stopped bleeding, right? And then continued bleeding after that. So, bishlam al rav d'amar ma'ayan echadu. Mishum hachi mitamei lach v'yavesh. He says the whole thing is one ma'ayan, and therefore, if she... Rav says it's all Mayan Echad, and that's why if you don't go to the mikvah, well, she's still going to continue to be Tameh in what she was. Okay, it's not, until you see the other side, it's not as clear what we're saying here. But Ela Lelevi da Amar Shne Mayanoten Amay Metame Lach V'Yavesh. According to Levi, what's the difference if she goes to the mikveh or not? It's already different. It's a different Mayan. It's coming from a different place. So why should she be, you know, theoretically, what happened here? We're assuming it stopped bleeding and now something else is coming, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem. So, Amar Lecha Levi, Hacha B'mayas Kinan, B'shofat. It's talking about where she continued. In other words, according to Levi, there's two different Mayanot here. So if it continued and it never stopped, then theoretically it's still part of the first Mayan. What he means is, when they say Metame Lach V'Yavesh, it's saying, Beit Hillel, when they say Metame Lach V'Yavesh, Beit Hillel is saying only if it continues and it never ever stopped, because then it's coming from that original Mayan. This is basically Dam Tame is coming from a different source, but this one obviously isn't. Okay? What's my place here? Okay. So Ibishofat, so now they say, wait a minute. Ibishofat, my time I had to Beit Shammai. So then if it's still the same flow according to Levi, then why would Beit Shammai, if Levi says it's a different Mayan, which presumes that if it was the same Mayan, it just continued bleeding, it would be a problem. So why does Beit Shammai not think it's a problem? Remember, Beit Shammai only says Midrabbanan, we're gonna be Machmir, but it's really not a problem. So how could Beit Shammai say it? Very simply, Kasavra Beit Shammai Mayan Echadu. In other words, Levi's interpretation doesn't match Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds it's all one Mayan. And that's why they say, even if she doesn't go to the mikvah, it's going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem because it's a different, right? It's all one Mayan. It's just the Torah arbitrarily said, or not arbitrarily said, you know, this already is Tameh. So now they say, Bishlama Lelevi. So now that makes sense according to Levi. Hainu de'ika ben Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel. That's the machloka between them. Ela l'Rav, my ben Hayu. But according to Rav, what's the machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel based on? So what do they say? Ika ben Hayu, yome u'tfila. Okay? What do you need? De Beit Shammai savre b'yoma tale rachmana, u'Beit Hillel savre b'yome u'tfila. The main difference is it enough just the days? That's if we assume that Beit Shammai holds Mayan Echad, and Beit Hillel, according to Rav, holds also Mayan Echad, because that's how Rav views it, it's all Mayan Echad, they're obviously holding like Beit Hillel, so what's the difference? The difference is it just the Yome, or do you also need Tefillah? Beit Hillel says it's Yome and Tefillah. Yes, it automatically it has a different nature, but you also have to go to the mikvah, and Beit Shammai says you don't actually have to go to the mikvah. Okay. Tashma, another question. Umodim bioleda bezov, the continuation of our Mishnah, shehi metama lach v'yavesh. They agree that if she's yoleda bezov, it's metama lach v'yavesh. Okay, again, it's a question on Levi. So remember, what did Levi say? That it's two different Mayanot. Salka data hachanami de paska. Again, the assumption is she's yoleda bezov. Then she bleeds, and then she stops bleeding, and we go now to her second Mayan. So bishlama l'Rav d'amar mayan echadu, mishum hachi mitame lach v'yavesh. Ela l'Levi d'amar shne mayanot hen amay mitame lach v'yavesh. According to Levi, that it's two different mayanot. Why should be mitame? Because again, it should be dam tohar. It's a different source of blood. It shouldn't ever be tame. So amar lecha, he would answer, hachanami b'shofat. Again, it's that the flow continued. It's theoretically dam tohar is from a different mayan, but in this case, the blood continued for longer. So Ibishofad, Lamai Itzdrich, Lebeit Shammai. Lamai Itzdrich. So then if it's still continual, and we view it as, you know, it's two Mayanot, and if it's still the same flow, well then it's obviously going to be Tamei. So what do you need the Mishnah to tell you that they all agree Bioled Bezov, this Matama Lachvi Abesh? Isn't it obvious? It's still coming from the same source, the blood. So they say Lebeit Shammai Itzdrich. Why? Because remember, what do we say? Beit Shammai holds Mayan Echad. It's not two different Mayanot. So, af agav de kamer Beit Shammai mayan echadu, ubi yome tale rachmana, hanimile bioledek redata, deshlimu lehu yome. When Beit Shammai said it's mayan echad, and it's all dependent on the days, he's going to make an exception in the yoledet bezov case. He says, that's when a regular yoledet, the kind of finished her days up. Ava yoledet bezov, debay sfira lo. But if she needs to still count, then no, we're not going to say that. Tashma, another source against
Levi. She just has to finish whichever day. She doesn't have to start again for that second.
She has to have seven clean days,
right,
basically.
But she can count the ones she already had. Like if she gave birth, didn't she start counting?
She can't count the days before
the
birth.
She has to
have seven clean days, a set of seven clean days. Yeah, in a row. Okay.
There was something about counting before and then finishing later. I just don't remember what.
I don't think she can count her Shevanikim before. No. It was just that she had 3 days before.
Yeah.
She had a minimum of 3 days before, then she's a Zavagdola, and she didn't have enough days before to count her Shevanikim, so now she has to start from the beginning, as far as I know. And therefore, until she gets out of it, again, according to Beit Shammai, what does she need? She just needs Shevanikim. She doesn't actually need to go to the mikvah. Okay, Tashma, next question on Levi. Kimei nidat davta titma. Remember that we had the Yoledet is like Anida. Okay, that's what it says in the Pasuk. She's nitma like Anida. So now they're going to darshan this davta titma in a few different ways. Davta titma lirabot et boala. If somebody sleeps with a woman who's a yoledet, he's going to be tamei just like a boal nida. We had a lot to do about a boal nida. So she's like Anida in that sense. Davta titma lirabot halelot. Okay, it says by the nida that she's tamei shivat yamin. But they darshan there, it's not just days, she's also tamei the nights, okay? It's, again, these are assumptions that we would never have thought because it's so obvious to us, but to them they suggested maybe yamin means yamin, and maybe she's actually not tamei every night. But no, they darshan she's tamei every night. From nidat davta titma, they say, from there we're going to learn that also the yoledet is tamei at nights. Davta titma, lerabot hayoledet bezov, shetzrichat sheteshev shivanikim. Okay, so here it says, and this is going to be the important one for our purposes, the Yoledet Bezov needs to wait Shivanikiyim. Okay, and that's another thing they learn from here. So, Bishlama l'Rav de'amar ma'ayan achadu, mishum hachi baya Shivanikiyim. So we understand, according to Rav, who says it's all one ma'ayan. And that's why she needs 7 clean days. Ela l'levi de'amar shnei ma'ayanot hen lama li shiva b'mashu sagya. Okay, she shouldn't need 7 clean days. Okay, what does it mean, b'mashahu? It means it should be enough that she stops bleeding. As soon as she stops bleeding, it's clear that her ma'ayan hatameh is finished. And any blood she sees, now here comes this crazy havamina. Once her bleeding, she has, and that's again, this concept of tifsok. Once she stops, the assumption is, let's say she's past her 7 days, okay, or 14, whatever it may be, then she wants to start counting her clean days. Now, any blood she sees on day number 15, 16, 17, 18 is what we call tahor blood. Now, if you're counting Shevanikiyim,
does it count
as Nikiyim? Because it's not Tame blood. Theoretically, you would think that it would count. So according to Levi, who says there's, according to Rav, who says it's all Mayan Achad, well, you need to get out of it then, because the blood is still coming from the same source, and therefore you have to get out of it. But according to Levi, who says it's a totally different source, well, then it's something totally different. It shouldn't even count as Tamei blood. So, Hachi Kamar, so now they say this is what it means, what the Braita means. Tzricha shetifsok mashehu, she'alu la'le shivanikim. So according to this explanation, crazy radical, this would make our lives a lot easier if we held by this. Because again, we're machmir nowadays. We assume all nashim theoretically can be yoldot bezov. And therefore, you have to have shevanikim. And therefore,
really?
We've kind of eliminated dam tohar. I mean, there's other reasons also, from what I remember, that why we don't do dam tohar. But theoretically, if we held by this, we'd be able to count days of dam after day number 8 or day number 15, or from day 8 or 15, could theoretically count as Shevanikiyim, any blood we saw there, and it would count. This is, again, according to, they were trying to explain how we could read Levi according to the source. It's not that they necessarily say that's what we do.